जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोरनंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोरनंदन व्रज जनरंजन जमुना तीरा वनचारी, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 14, and we're reading text 24 today. Etasyam sadvisadhyayam Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavanaha Parito Bhuta Parshadbir Rishe Natati Burarat Etasyam sadvisadhyayam Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavanaha Parito Bhuta Parshadbir Vrishe Natati Bhutarat Etasyam Sadvisadhyayam Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavanaha Parito Bhuta Parshadbir Vrishe Natati Bhutarat. Yeah. Etasam sati satyayam Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavanaha Parito Bhuta Parshadir Vishnati Bhutara Etasyam Sadvi Sadhyayam Tasyam sadvi sadhyayam Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavanaha Parito Bhuta Parshabir Vishenatati Bhutarat Etasyam sadvi sadhyayam Etasyam, in this period, sadvi, O chaste one, sanyayam, at the junction of day and night, evening, Bhagavan, the personality of God, Bhuta Bhavanaha, the well-wisher of the ghostly characters. Paritaha, surrounded by. Bhuta Parshadabihi, by ghostly companions. Vrishena, on the back of the bowl carrier. Atati, travels. Bhutarat, the king of the ghosts. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Shiva, the king of the ghosts, sitting on the back of his bull carrier, travels at this time, accompanied by ghosts who follow him for their welfare. Purport. Lord Shiva, or Rudra, is the king of the ghosts. Ghostly characters worship Lord Shiva to be gradually guided toward a path of self-realization. Mayavadi philosophers are mostly worshippers of Lord Shiva, and Sripad Shankaracharya is considered to be the incarnation of Lord Shiva for preaching godlessness to the Mayavadi philosophers. Ghosts are bereft of a physical body because of their grievously sinful acts, such as suicide. The last resort of the ghostly characters in human society is to take shelter of suicide, either material or spiritual. Material suicide causes loss of the physical body, and spiritual suicide causes loss of the individual identity. Mayavadi philosophers desire to lose their individuality and merge into the impersonal spiritual Brahma-jyoti existence. Lord Shiva, being very kind to the ghosts, sees that although they are condemned, they get physical bodies. He places them into the wombs of women who indulge in sexual intercourse regardless of the restrictions on time and circumstance. Kashyapa wanted to impress this fact upon Diti, so that she might wait for a while. Om Akyanti Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raganatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dino Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Beg for the blessings of the assembled devotees. Disciples of Srila Prabhupada, ask for your blessings. May our words and our consciousness be aligned with Guru Parampara, Srila Prabhupada. May Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar be pleased with all of us coming together to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And may all the devotees be benefited by hearing the transcendental qualities, pastimes of the Lord and His devotees. Hare Krishna. So again, this is Canto 3, Chapter 14, entitled Pregnancy of Ditti in the Evening, Text 24. Lord Shiva, the king of the ghosts, sitting on the back of his bull carrier, travels at this time, accompanied by ghosts who follow him for their welfare. So here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have six verses that are spoken by Kashyapa Muni describing Lord Shiva. Why suddenly are we talking about Lord Shiva? Suddenly there's a few verses just glorifying him, talking about his nature and his qualities. Because Kashyapa was warning his wife Ditti that we should not conceive a child at this moment. This is not a good moment. We're hearing why. That there's a certain particular time, it says here in the verse, Sandhyayam. Sandhi means juncture, junction, the junction between day and night. At that moment, Lord Shiva is traveling and he's accompanied by ghostly followers. He's very kind to them, so they take shelter of him and they stay with him. And he's actually gradually uplifting them in different ways by his association. But nevertheless, at that time, they're traveling, and if there's some opportunity, he may send one of those ghosts who don't have physical bodies into the womb of a particular woman who at that time is, in this sense, going against this understanding of the proper time. We spoke last time we gave class, we spoke about the four conditions that are important when conceiving a child for the parents to be aware of. The mental state of both the parents, the particular time, that's what we're talking about now. The time, it may be the time of the year, but also the time of the day even. The time of, you know, the time is also important. There are certain moments that are considered favorable and some unfavorable. There's also mentioned another factor was the direction of the husband. The husband usually, traditionally, would have the guru. So the husband having a guru where he learns spiritual truth from, and then the wife being chaste to the husband, also she's benefited, so she also may take direction from him. And then the other factor is the respect to the demigods and obedience to the demigods. Just like Shiva has this, there's this requirement that at this time, not a good time to conceive a child. But Diti is going against that, and so is Kashyapa. Kashyapa seems to, if you see in future verses, that it's almost like he's blaming Diti a little bit. Well, now we did it, you know, you were pressuring me in this way, and now we're going to have our offspring will be two demons. He sees it, actually. He's able to see. Not just know, but he actually sees the future. Kashyapa Muni, very powerful Prajapati. So, but the thing is, you know, because he was irresolute, he was also not firm. When she spoke to him, he was very easily persuaded. We were making the point last time that when we have many competing desires in our heart and contradictory desires, then we can be easily persuaded and exploited by other people. There's a little opening in the heart. There's something in us that allows ourselves to be exploited. This material world, there's the exploiters and the exploited. And they create each other. And they maintain each other by their dynamic. So even those who are sometimes exploited or taken advantage of other, we may blame the other for doing so, but there must be something in our heart also that allows for it. Because if one is very resolved internally and very firm and very strong, then another person can't affect you in that way. So both have to take responsibility. That's the point. We're all responsible. Everything that's happening to us, all the different occurrences in our life, the different events, it's coming from a subtle form within the consciousness as a samskar, as a tendency, and that tendency force pushes us to act, and then we act, and that creates a reaction. So whatever comes to us, we can be in a state of total acceptance. The good and the bad, whatever comes, a state of total acceptance. After all, I've put it in motion, but I accept it. This is meant for my purification. This is God's grace coming to me. He's teaching me so many things. Let me first of all accept it instead of fighting, resisting. You still may have to do something on the material plane. You still may have to take care of a situation. It's not that you accept being abused or something like that. So you take care of it on that level, but you also have this understanding that I also have to accept what's happening right now. So Kashyapa, he also desired to unite with Diti, and therefore she easily persuaded him. This is significant for devotees because there's what's called anishtita bhajan and nishtita bhajan. Anishtita means unsteady, unsteady bhakti. And then there's a platform. This is a very momentous occasion when one reaches the platform of nishta. That platform of nishta means, well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says one is no longer kanishta. Kanishta. Kanishta means like a beginning devotee. So once you come to the platform of nishta, then you are madhyama devotee. You are on the intermediate platform. And it doesn't mean you've overcome all your weaknesses. It just means they're not as strong as your desire to do bhajan and to perform bhakti. So coming to this platform where this desire for Krishna, for bhakti, for devotional service, overpowers the other desires, then one is steady and firm. And anishtita, when you put the A in front, it nullifies. So anishtita means unsteady. Why are we unsteady? Because we have many desires all at once. Yes, we desire Krishna, we desire bhakti, service, but I also have competing desires, and sometimes this one wins, sometimes that one wins, and therefore one is unsteady. So the good question to ask, how to go from anishtita to nishtita? What is the key factor in going from unsteady devotion to steady devotion? And that key factor is sadhu sangha. Consistent and powerful sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha means to associate with devotees, but actually it's very technical what it means. Sadhu sangha, sometimes we just speak of it in a very vague way. You know, you just spend a little time with a devotee, sadhu sangha. But what does it really mean? Sadhu. So there are three things. Sadhya means the goal. How to get to the goal. Sadhana. That person who's performing sadhana and also helping others to refine their sadhana, to achieve the goal, that is a sadhu. Okay, so it means that person who's helping you to refine your sadhana, the means to attain the goal, which is love for Krishna. The goal is not Krishna. The goal is not to go to Krishna. The goal is to love Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it very simple. The whole Vedic, all the Vedic knowledge, he summed up in just three simple categories. Krishna Sambandha, Bhakti Abhideya, Prema Prayojan. Krishna Sambandha, to understand the relationship with Krishna that's needed. Bhakti Abhideya, and the path to do that is through the process of bhakti, that is the means. And then what's the goal? Prem Prayojan. Prem means prem for Krishna, love for Krishna. So sadhu is a person who's helping you refine your bhakti. And then sangha. What does sangha mean? Sangha means some, like the word sum means completely. And ga means gamana, anugamana, which means to go, ga, like the word ga, go. It means to completely follow. So let's put these two things together now and see what sadhu sangha really means. Sadhu sangha means to completely follow externally and internally that person who is helping to refine your sadhana. So when we take these two words and break them down and really see what they mean together, a lot of us will discover, I don't have sadhu sangha right now in my life. I have my spiritual master, but maybe there's some, I'm not with my spiritual master. But even so, is there someone I'm seeking who can help me to refine my practice? Means there's a relationship with that person. We can go in here, we hear regularly, this is part of our sadhana, of course. But to be with a person who has affection for you, who knows you, and is helping you in refining this process of bhakti, that is sadhu sangha. So we should always want that. We should realize we always need that. No matter what, you know, situation, sometimes we think, oh, yeah, I had such nice sangha so long ago, nice sadhu sangha, and now I'm just, you know, doing my best to continue. But we should, even now, sadhu sangha may have shifted or changed, but we should be seeking it, looking for it. Who are those devotees where I can hear from that will help me? When we seek that, then Krishna, Paramatma in the heart, can also make arrangements. So it's not over at one point in life. It's something consistent and consistent, powerful sadhu sangha throughout our life. That is helping one to go from anishtita to nishtita, fixed devotion. So I'm just mentioning this because of Kashyapa, because many mixed desires, and he was easily taken off the track, and there are consequences. Right here, Kashyapa. Let me just read the previous verse so we can see a little bit more of the context here. In the previous verse, yesterday's verse, this particular time is most inauspicious because at this time the horrible-looking ghosts and constant companions of the Lord of the Ghosts are visible. And then today, and then we'll see these next few verses, is a kind of glorification of Lord Shiva. He's a very fascinating person. Very fast, difficult to understand. Shiva Tattva, the Tattva of Shiva. But there are a few things the Acharyas give that help us understand his Tattva, the principle of Lord Shiva. First, we have to know that there are three, or you could even say four, personalities of Shiva. There's Sadashiva, who's actually, there are two Sadashivas. It's going to be a little confusing. But it's said that there's a Sadashiva in Vaikuntha with his own planet and his own devotees. And that is actually directly Vishnu. So Sadashiva. But then there's also, outside of Vaikuntha, but also outside of the material world, there's Mahesh Dham. Brahma Samhita speaks about also this Shiva, who's referred to as, he's also Sadashiva, but he is more of the Shiva that we understand as a, you know, he is Shiva Tattva. He is not. He is also an expansion, one and different from Vishnu. So you see in the scriptures, there's so many verses talking about Shiva, but then getting this clarity of, wait, which one are we talking about here? It can help us a little bit because it can be very contradictory and confusing at times. So two Sadashivas. Then there's Shambhu. Shambhu is who's described as the, Shambhu is within the glance of Mahavishnu when he starts the creation. Within that glance, the abhas, it's like the glow coming from his eyes. In that glance, there are many things. There are the jivas and all the karma and all their natures. And the time factor is also within the glance. And Shiva is considered to be like that time factor, Kala Rupa. He's the form of time. And this is why, you know, the Shiva Lingam is worshipped. In one sense, we say Brahma is the creator of this material world, but we'll see in a couple verses coming up also, Lord Shiva is also sometimes called the creator because of this, because when Mahavishnu glances, that principle of Shiva is in the glance and impregnates Prakriti. So in one sense, Shiva is the creator of this material world. He's like the father, and then Rama Devi, whose shadow is Durga, is like the mother, and so the glance, the father, the mother, unite, and then the material, everything in the material world begins to come from that. So Sadashiva, Shambhu, and then there's Rudra. This is another form. Rudra. So in this section of the Bhagavatam, actually, we're like the previous canto and earlier in this canto as well, there's mention how from Brahma, from his anger, comes Rudra. So there are 11 Rudras, and Shiva, what we call Shiva, is one of them also. So he's also one of the Rudras. That's why Krishna says, of the Rudras, I am Shiva. And he is primarily, his function is destruction. And he's predominating over the mode of ignorance. And therefore, we're hearing in this section, destruction, ignorance, also who associates with him. He's Bhuta Bhavana. He's very kind to the Bhutas. Parito Bhuta Parshad Bhi. Parito Bhuta, Parshad means like associates or friends. Who are his followers and friends? The Bhutas. They're staying with him. So at this particular time, sadhyayam, it is not a good time to conceive a child. So one is supposed to avoid conceiving a child at this junction. So these verses, you'll see these next few verses, we shouldn't misunderstand Shiva, because his appearance is very shocking. We were hearing, he's also, you know, he's the greatest of the Vaishnavas. He's the greatest devotee of the Lord. But when we see what he looks like and hear about what he looks like, it's confusing, right? He has ashes all over his body. Why does he have ashes all over his body? How did they get there? He's at the crematorium, and the wind blows, and the ashes from the corpses. So even in India, you go today, the crematoriums, many Shaivites, that's where they are, that's where they dwell. So, you know, actually a couple of days ago was Ash Wednesday in the Christian tradition. You know, they put the ash on the head. And when you put the ash on the head, the priest or the pastor will say, remember that you are dust, and to dust you will return. That's a verse from the Bible. Remember that you've just come from dust. This body is just earth. It's a remembrance of your death. It's a remembrance of mortality, your mortality. So remember, you've come from dust. Actually, this is described in the Vedas also. You know, what are these bodies made of? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. And when they start to disintegrate, when the soul leaves the body and the physical body disintegrates, it returns to the elements, the Mahabhutas. Panch Mahabhuta, five elements. So then the earth goes back to the earth. The air that's within you goes back into the air, the element of air. So remember, you are dust, and to dust you will return. So it's a remembrance that we remember. Why do we want to remember that death is approaching? So that we can not waste time, so that we can take shelter of what's most essential, what's most important. So Shiva also, in this form, the ashes, he has skulls around him. But these are also reminders of death. He's also teaching us. So, he also represents Shiva. He is the presiding deity of the Ahankar, the false ego. When the glance of Mahavishnu, which contains Shiva, enters Prakriti, and then all the jivas are also there, because he's the Ahankar Tattva, he's the principle of Ahankar, then those jivas that are being touched by that glance, by him, by Lord Shiva, they also become covered by Ahankar. So it's also described like that in Brahma Samhita commentary. So Lord Shiva enters the existence of all of the jivas as the Ahankar, as the covering of Ahankar. That's why we have this covering of the false ego. And in the Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, it describes there are four kinds of death. There's the constant death, just like right now, a few seconds have passed. And so everything is come and gone. Everything has died. There's a constant death taking place. Then on a larger scale, there's the end of the day of Brahma, which is an annihilation of the whole material world. But then it comes back again, just like, because that's the end of his day. So you sleep, and then you wake up to another day. And then it comes forth again, the creation. That's another death. And then an even larger scale, the end of the life of Brahma. And then the final death, and the ultimate death, and the most important death, is the death of the false ego. Adyantika, it's called. And Shiva is representing this tattva. He is a Vaishnava. He has great mercy on the even in our line, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, there's so much relationship with Lord Shiva. Sanatana Goswami had his relationship with Lord Shiva. Rupa Goswami, before writing his dramas, he was visited by Lord Shiva in a dream. And he said, I empower you to write these dramas. I give blessings. You should write these dramas. I'll give my blessings. You can do so. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was planning to go to Vrindavan, and he also had a dream of Lord Shiva. It told him to return to Mayapur and find the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also establish where the nine islands are. So he's very relevant. He's very active still, involved in the lives of the devotees. He's a very special, fascinating personality representing all these tattvas. You know, like we have, you know, some of these great personalities, these beings, just like there's Krishna. And then coming from another level of existence, Krishna in Vaikuntha is Narayan. And now you come down further into the material world, that Narayan is Mahavishnu. Right, so it's all Krishna, but different levels of existent, different forms. So Shiva's like that too. That's why I was mentioning there's even a Vaikuntha planet where Lord Sadashiva. But then in the material world, or let's say on that level of Mahavishnu, the creation of the material world, he's Shambhu. And then on another level, he's Rudra. And he has his pastimes, and he's associating also with these, we're hearing who he's associating with. Because he's predominating over the mode of ignorance, he has this kind of association that he's also helping. So he's very amazing personality. And it's described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita when Narada Muni is looking for that devotee who's received the mercy of the Lord to the greatest degree. Who is that devotee? He's looking for the best devotee. And he goes to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma sends him to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva at that time was meditating on his Lord, Mahasankarshan. And so when Narada Muni starts to tell him, you know, you are so great, the association of the Lord and all the services you have done, he very humbly responds by saying, you know, no, I'm very far. I hardly received any mercy from the Lord. I want to. It's my aspiration. But look at the services that the Lord gives me. Right? There's the churning of the milk ocean, the demigods and the demons, and some poison comes out. Shiva, you drink that. Am I loved by the Lord? You know, he's telling me, you drink that poison. But, you know, of course, this is his humility. Only he could do it. He's so powerful. He's so great. He's so compassionate that he could do it. It's described that also when he drank the poison, he kept it in his throat. He didn't swallow, because if he swallows, then it goes down through the region of the heart where his Lord, Paramatma, where the Vishnu is. So he didn't want to disturb Vishnu. So he kept it right in his throat. And he became famous as Nilakanta. It discolored his throat. So Narada Muni is glorifying him in so many ways, you know, but he keeps putting it aside. Look at these services. Look, I've given benedictions to so many demons. Who are some demons that Lord Shiva has given benediction to? Yes, Gosur. Ravana. Vanusara. Yeah. Jayadratha also has the mind. Where he's giving these benedictions. But if you think about it, so it looks like Shiva's giving these, why would Shiva be giving benedictions to these demons? But if you look very closely and see the whole pastime, you see that he gives a benediction, but he always leaves some little opening that causes the demise of that personality. Right? Look at Ravana. He gave him many boons, but still, not completely. You know? Just like when Brahma gave Hiranyakashipu many boons, but he left a couple things out, and Narsingadev took advantage of those couple things, and it was the demise of Hiranyakashipu. So when we see Brahma and Shiva giving these benedictions, you have to see the full context, and then you realize they're not just happy with these beings and giving them blessings, but they're actually leaving something open so that eventually it will lead to their downfall. So Prabhupada also mentioning that Sripad Shankaracharya, this is another example, right, of Shiva, where you might think, Shankaracharya, the Prabhupada says in the purport, who preached godlessness, is an incarnation of Lord Shiva. Sripad Shankaracharya, they say he was born in 788 to 820. So if you think about that, only 32 years he lived. And when he was a young boy, 8 years old, he mastered all the Vedas. And then just a couple years later, he took sannyas and just renounced everything and traveled. And he traveled, you know, when he was born in India at that time, the main religion was Buddhism. You know, Buddha came 500 BC, around that time. So 1,000 years, we know that Buddha also was part of this very long mission of the Lord. When the Lord does, you know, you imagine hundreds of years passing, people are in different states of consciousness, and you have to very gradually change them. So because the Vedas were being abused, sacrifices were being performed, Brahmanas were no longer real Brahmanas, all these things were happening, so Buddha came. And he said, forget all this, forget the Vedas. Think about this, God comes, and to reject, as a preaching strategy, rejects the Shastra. So sometimes we get uptight when some devotee is trying something new. Oh, Prabhu, this is new preaching strategy, Prabhupada didn't do that, Prabhupada didn't. But here we have God himself, with a preaching strategy to reject the scriptures. Just temporarily, it was needed. It was needed just temporarily, but we see also it had a powerful effect. So then comes after Buddha, the next great Lord, this incarnation of Lord Shiva comes, but much later, you know. So 500 BC, then now we're talking about 788. Yeah. So then Shankaracharya comes, and he established schools in the north of India, the south, the east, and the west, 4 primary schools, and 3 orders of monks he created. And he was also preaching. You can say, yeah, Prabhupada says here, godlessness, but he brought everyone back into the house of the Vedas. Because when Buddha rejected it wholesale, then it was gone in India practically. Everyone was Buddhist. When Shankaracharya was born, it was primarily Buddhist. So we gradually have to, you know, come back. He brings the Vedas back into it. So he also taught a kind of Buddhism. It wasn't too different, because people can't take something too different too quick. So he kind of preached a similar thing. Sometimes it's called covered Buddhism. It was still Buddhism, in a sense. There was still not much, God was brought into it, but became like we are all God. God is the supreme Brahman, you know, so also impersonal. Oh. But then he also brought back the authority of the Vedas. Now when you bring back the authority of the Vedas, there's so many things there. Now we can go further. There's also Shastra talking about devotion, talking about Krishna. So then after Shankaracharya comes Ramanujacharya, to now become a little more closer to the real essence, to bhakti, to the personalism of God. God is impersonal, we have no problem saying that, but he's also personal. He's impersonal. The Brahma Jyoti, Brahman of old, this is a reality. It's not that we say it's not true. But God is everything. How can we be persons and say that our source, God, is not a person? We have something that he doesn't have? We have something superior. We have something special that God doesn't have. No, it's all in God. So he has his energies. He has the Brahman effulgence is considered to be like his aura. Every being has a little shakti, a little aura that comes from them. So God also, in the Krishna, he has his aura, which is the Brahman effulgence. So Sripad Shankaracharya, even though it seems like he was just creating Mayavadis who were averse to God, that may have been some of the outcome from his preaching. But we also know he is a devotee. He's the greatest devotee. He took up that service. Not an easy service. Who wants to do that? That's why Shiva was telling Narada, look at the services I'm given. What's that verse? I'm sure. Pushkar Prabhu. Mayavadam. Yeah. Yes. In the Devi Purana, that Shiva says this. This is not just our invention. Shankaracharya really is a devotee. It sounds like our Gaudiya Vaishnava invention, right? But even in this Purana, when you look, it says that I will come and preach Mayavadam Asat Shastram. Asat means also temporary. I will preach a temporary Shastra. False Shastra, you can also say. But temporary in the sense that it was a timely necessity. Prabhupada says it perfectly. He says, Buddha, Shankaracharya, these were timely necessities of the Lord's appearance to give something that was just appropriate for the time. They weren't actually meant to continue and still be with us. They're meant to evolve into what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. It's a gradual evolution. And they're all great souls. They were all surrendered. Lord Shiva was surrendered. Completely surrendered. Ramanuja, Buddha was, Buddha we say is the avatar of the Lord himself. But Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, all completely surrendered to this process of coming to the culmination, which are found in the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very intimate love of God. I remember I was distributing books in New York City once, and I was on 14th Street, very busy street, and a good place to distribute books. So many people are coming, waves of people all day long. And I was on one corner, and I learned later that there were Christians. I was distributing Bhagavad Gitas, and there were Christians distributing Bibles on the other corner. So I would sometimes see people walk by with Bibles, and they were seeing people walk by with Bhagavad Gitas. And so one of the Christians apparently asked, what's this book you're all holding? You know, a few people walking by with. And he said, oh, there's some monk at the other corner. So they came to see me. He's like three Christian boys. And they were saying, what is this book? And I was explaining a little bit, and they looked at the back, and they saw Prabhupada. And they said, so this is the person that is leading you to God? Is that the idea? I said, yeah. This is the person. This is a pure devotee of God, and God sends his representatives different times, different places, and if we connect to them, then we can be saved. So they said, but he's just like what, he was just born, recently, and what's his story? They wanted to know a little bit about it, and I said, but they really what they were getting at was that, well, how can you compare him to Jesus? Like they were agreeing that you need to go through the Son of God. But how can you compare this man to Jesus? And I said, well, why? Why do you think that's not comparable? He said, well, Jesus died on the cross for the sins of everyone. And I said, and there was a man listening too. He's the one who brought them over to me because he said, oh, you got to see this monk and then Krishna and then the Christians and let's see what happens, you know. So he came over kind of interested and he wanted to see some kind of debate or something. And so I said, no, you see, the whole point is Jesus was 100% surrendered to God, right? Yes. And God gave him a mission, and he performed that mission, right? Yes. So God doesn't give everybody the exact same mission. Someone else may do something very different, but still also 100% surrendered to God. You can't look at the external activity and think this one's better than that one. You know, Prabhupada had a certain mission at this time, and it's also quite a mission. I told him coming by boat from India, you know, coming to America, and how he single-handedly spread Krishna consciousness all over the world in just a short time. And this is also remarkable. It's not dying on the cross because that wasn't needed of him. God has missions for his pure devotees, and a pure devotee is a person who completely wholesale surrenders to the mission. So you can't say, well, this person's better because he died on a cross. It's more extreme, definitely, but he was 100% surrendered, so he did it. He was willing to do it. But who's to say someone today who's also in a mood, God, I'll do anything you want. But God doesn't need them to hang from a cross. He may need something else from them. And if they do it, they are just as surrendered. So that man who was listening on the side, he said, that's a good point. That's a good point. How can you say that this Swami, you know, was also not willing to die on the cross? Actually, the spiritual master is, the pure devotee is willing to die in that way. Right, that they're giving their life. They may not have to hang from a cross, but they're giving their life. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, you have to make one person a devotee of Krishna, you have to spend so many gallons of blood. And they're willing to give everything, to give their life completely. So actually every pure devotee is willing to die for the Lord, because that's what a pure devotee is. I'm 100% surrendered. Whatever you ask. So Shiva's like this too. Whatever the Lord asked him, drink that poison. Come as Shankaracharya. Do these different services. Always some difficult service, but he's completely surrendered. What else? Tell me. So he's, in his humility to Narada Muni, he's saying, look at these services the Lord gives me. I have no mercy. I have not received his mercy. But actually, all of these pastimes of Shiva are his glories. So we shouldn't misunderstand. So, when, we'll end with this, but when Shiva, when Narada Muni leaves Shiva, Shiva sent him where next? Anyone remember? To Prahlad Maharaj. You think, I'm just involved in creation, I'm doing all these crazy things, but Prahlad is always absorbed in remembrance of the Lord. So he is the great devotee you want to seek. But Acharyas describe that actually Lord Shiva is superior to Prahlad. Because, why? Because Shiva is even there in Vrindavan. Prahlad is not in Vrindavan. He's Shantaras. So you even have this form of Shiva in Vrindavan, Gopishwar Mahadev. Anyone been to that temple? Yes, many of you. Very special place. Again, I was saying the relation to Sanatan Goswami. So, you know, there are some pastimes. Krishna, Gopishwar Mahadev, he's guarding the Rasa Lila. He's like the guard. And also Vrindavan. To enter in Vrindavan, many devotees, you go first to Shiva's temple, ask for permission. So he also has his connection directly to Lord Krishna. So like we started with Krishna, Narayan, Mahavishnu. So then we even have Gopishwar, Mahadev. And we have Sadashiva, Shambhu, Rudra. These are all the different levels of the existence. And Shiva's everywhere, just like Krishna is everywhere. And primarily as devotees, we respect him as the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. That's how Lord Chaitanya primarily saw. Lord Chaitanya also visited many Shiva temples, was dancing in ecstasy. So, Shiva Ratri, which was recently, and these verses in the Bhagavatam happen to be about Shiva, so it's nice to just remember him, glorify him. This is what Bhagavatam is, glorifying the pure devotees of the Lord. And by their grace, our hearts can become purified, and we can become like them. We want to become like them. You know, usually children, kids, they're looking up to certain people in this world, trying to become like them. But what can your mind even imagine a higher conception of a pure devotee of God, complete love, unconditional love. I'm completely sold out to the Supreme Lord, the creator of everything. I want to be used as an instrument of service. This is the highest possible conception for a human being to have when they think of an ideal human being, a person who loves unconditionally, eternally. So this is who we want to be like. By hearing them, and we also are just evoking their mercy and their grace that we can become like them. So we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions, thoughts, comments, please, Prabhu? Love to hear something from you.
Prabhuji, it's so difficult sometimes for me to come in the morning because of my schedule. Somehow or another, by the grace of, I had a grandchild recently, so everybody's at my house, so they're covering services for me. So I'm feeling that it was so much of a special blessing to come and hear your Hari Katha today. My heart is just like overflowing with so many things. So first I want to thank you so much for such high class of Hari Katha. And devotees will be so inspired by hearing like this again and again. So I hope I also get to have your association again in Hari Katha. So there's so many things, but I realize the hour is late and others may also want to ask questions. But also in Padma Purana is describing that that Sada Shiv appears in the Ras Mandal, right, Krishna. It's that Sada Shiva who performs the pastime to become Gopishwar Mahadev. He's also called the Adi Icha of Krishna because Krishna has the eternal auspicious desire. Sada means eternal, Shiv means auspicious, desire to understand the love of Radhika. He attempts it first by going as Sadashiv, becoming Gopishwar Mahadev, trying to enter the Ras Mandal, and then he's rejected in the Ras Mandal because he's still Purush Bhav, and he's made the guardian of the Ras Mandal to serve the Ras Leela. This is the genesis of the desire in the heart of Krishna to understand Radhika's mood, which he will later fulfill by becoming Mahaprabhu.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. When I saw you, I knew you were going to have some jewels for all of us.
You brought so many things out. Also in the story of Kashyapa and Diti, that is very amazing because Kashyapa is such a high class of devotee. And he addresses Diti as Swadvi. She means Dharmapatni, very high class chaste wife. So he's saying this particularly because Bhagavatam is written in Vyanjan Vritti, like Parokshvad means indirect meanings. So the meaning here was that they were not bewildered. It's a lesson for ordinary people, but they were not bewildered by Maya, but by Yog Maya, because there'll be the arrangement for Jai and Vijay to come to perform the pastime of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu. And it's mentioned in the third canto, Samrama Samritya Anuvari Samadhi Yog, that actually the activities of Jai and Vijay were actually bhakti yoga in anger. Very deep. That's why Prahlad kept prodding Hiranyakasipu till he became so angry, he broke the pillar. That was the pinnacle of his anger, which manifested in the Sringadev. Then the Sringadev, when he was killing Hiranyakasipu, is Naka Ankur Upatita Ritsaroduham. He put him on his lap and bifurcated him, but then he took his entrails and garlanded himself, took his heart and held it up like a lotus to show how beautiful is my devotee. They will even give up Vaikuntha to come and do my seva so I can taste this viras. So many beautiful things.
Amazing. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for sharing those beautiful insights.
Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, thank you for your class.
Hare Krishna.
At the beginning you were talking about Sadhu Sangha. Could you speak a little bit about, because you were saying like, we want somebody to have a relationship with. Can you speak a little bit about like what to look for when we're choosing somebody for Sadhu Sangha?
Yeah, Rupa Goswami gives three nice indications. You should find someone who is like-minded because there's all kinds of devotees and all kinds of sadhus. So there'll be a connection. If you see like-mindedness, someone who's speaking, there should be like-mindedness. They should have affection for you. You should have affection for them. That's also a relationship, so it may take some time, but if you see somebody that's attractive, and they should be more advanced than you. This is the best sadhu sangha. If they're more advanced, if they're very affectionate, and they're like-minded. So this is the kind of thing that, you know, we'll get help when we really want it. So we should know to look for these things. We keep our eyes open in that sense from these guidelines from Rupa Goswami. But also it's the desire. The desire is very strong. And we'll suddenly see, ah, here's an opportunity, or here's a nice person. Let me start a relationship, build a relationship. So we want to find people like that, more advanced, very affectionate, and like-minded. And then there's all kinds of sangha that we want. We also just want equals. We want to be around devotees. So we should look for everything. And we also want devotees who are new, or maybe we can help in some way. So all three relationships are very valuable. We can all look and see, well, which one is lacking for me right now? Maybe two are lacking. Maybe, you know, whatever it is. And then we can see, well, how can I bring that into my life? Because there's great benefit from all three of those relationships, the juniors, the equals, and seniors. For us, most valuable is the senior association, if we can somehow find that and learn from them, because they will help us also, as I was mentioning, refine our practice. And that empowers us to also then associate with equals and also juniors. So that's the most valuable. Yeah. Anyone else have some comments? Or? Yes, Prabhu.
Sir, I had a question, but it was just answered, so thank you so much.
Was the same question?
So the way I wanted to phrase it is how maybe you could share how to pray for sadhu sangha and specifically the like-minded sadhu sangha, and maybe you could also remind the definition of sadhu sangha that you mentioned, the technical one.
Yeah. Technically, sadhu sangha means to follow externally and internally those devotees who are performing sadhana themselves towards the goal and also helping to refine my sadhana. So sadhu sangha. I kind of broke it down earlier, but that's the essence of it. And the prayer can be just as simple as you spoke it. You know, that we pray to Krishna, we pray to Prabhupada. We have that. It doesn't even have to be so many particular words. It's this spirit. It's this, I'm longing for that. I need that. Krishna, I need to find those devotees in my life where I want to come in that association. Hearing is purifying, uplifting, changing my heart. You know, it doesn't even have to be these or those words, but it's really that longing of the heart. And keep it going. Doesn't come. Maybe it doesn't come. Well, keep it alive. Stronger, stronger, like that. And this way the longing increases. And then Krishna obviously wants to give, you know, he wants to give that to all of us, but he's also waiting to see the heart's desire increasing, deepening. Well, those are my thoughts on that. And maybe other devotees have other things to say on that, but it's a very nice question.
That's nice. So, thank you. Really nice class. I mean, many things I was thinking while you were speaking. So nice. One of the topics was that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said us to become dust. Stita dhuli sadrisham vichintaya. The dhuli.
Yeah.
Dhuli means dust.
Yeah.
I don't mean the dust on the road.
Yes.
So I was tracing. Well, I don't want to become dust. I was talking to myself. I mean, what kind of life is that? I become Hare Krishna, then become dust? Then Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, on the commentary on Shikshastakam, he writes, thus dust are pre-deposited with eternity and cognition potency. The moment Krishna comes on a gocharan, coward pasturing or lila, they come in contact with him, the news comes that Krishna is coming this way, then immediately they get completely merged into pleasure potency. So it is Sachidananda, the soul. Because in Christianity today, I met this person, Black Body. She runs a black church in Gainesville. She said, we were dust before, and Jesus, from resurrection, he will make us again live. I said, what happened after you die? So we become dust again. So then I was explaining, no, that dust actually has a very deep meaning. Mm. The dust is pre-deposited with cognition potency, means you know who God is, who you are, what is your relation, what is the purpose God made you. These are called cognizant, sambit, potency. And eternity, you are eternal. The dust is not eternal in this world. So when Mahaprabhu says sthito dhuli, means that. It's so wonderful. Another concept, I mean many, but one concept, your understanding on Shiva is very nice. I appreciate that. Because I was pushing on it. Ramapad Maharaj also asking some question to fill it up. And I was doing also some research. So basic concept is, there is Vishnu Tattva Shiva, then there is a Shambhu Tattva Shiva, then Rudra Tattva Shiva. I put it that way, just to, and Maharaj liked it. The reason I put it, Vishnu Tattva Shiva, that Prabhu explained about Gopeshwar Mahadev, Sadashiva, these are actually Vishnu Tattva Shiva. Now when you say, what is the difference, Rudra Tattva and Vishnu Tattva? One difference is, Maya is always controlled by them. Maya has no power to come close or associate or control. But when you talk about Jiva Tattva, out of 11 Rudra Tattva, one is Shiva. The other 10 can be any living entity empowered, not just pick and choose, but they have to really like do a lot of austerity to become. So not necessarily Rudra is that Sadashiva. It's a Rudra is, could be a Jiva, living entity, but empowered. You can look at the functionality and utility of the Rudra. Most of the people misses in India, or most of the Shaivait or Shiva follower misses. As you mentioned, there are four types of destruction or pralay, annihilation. The Atantiki is the soul. Nobody can destroy that. Each of us can destroy only false ego. Guru can help us. That's what Guru is supposed to do. Even Krishna will not do. There is no incident Krishna did this fourth Atantiki pralay. It is the each individual soul through bhakti come to a point that full surrender to the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna, then the false ego will disappear. Because the last layer, if you look at the all these layers of the universe, last layer is the false ego layer. And over there, this is Devidham, and every layer there is a female form of God are worshipped. And the last layer form of the Lord is Mohini Murti. It is Vishnu, but is Mohini Murti or Shiva and Parvati worship. Anybody dissolve the false ego can cross, otherwise not possible. So that Shiva has a inner current and outer current. Both are where the meeting point of both. Inner current means I am a servant of God, my life is for that. Outer current is, I'm nobody's servant. I'm on my own. I can do whatever I want. Both consciousness meeting point is that Shiva. So that is called Shambhu Tattva. It has its, he has his own category. He's not a Jiva, he's not a Vishnu. He has his own category. He is Satchidananda, but something mixed. That's why that verse is, Shiram jatha dadi vikara vishesha yoga. Something added there. What is that added? Four elements Jiva Goswami Pad writes. Anyway, this whole explanation. I mean, looking at the time, I'm scared also, like I'm going on. So those four things adds, then Satchidananda form is not visible or acting as a Satchidananda form completely. Because Shiva also can act in a like inertia. How is that? Because 10.88.3, if you look at that verse, Shiva Maya Shakti Sangi Tamagun Aves Mayatita Gunatita Vishnu Paramesh, that Shiva Shakti Jukta Shashvata, Shashvata means eternally, Tori Lunga Vaikariki Rajasa Cha Tamasa. He has this Maya's association. He can never be free from Maya. That aspect of Shiva, Maya is eternally with him. He can never be free from Maya. That is not possible in Gopeshwar Mahadeva Sadashiva. Mm. So that's why it has its own category.
Mm.
And then the whole explanation is there, very beautiful. Shiva Tattva is very complex.
Yeah.
Bhakti Siddhanta Sutaku said, most complicated, you can say complex in a sense like almost nobody can understand. But our Acharya gave enough, I think that satisfies us. No need more than that.
It's amazing. It's so deep. You know, Srimad Bhagavatam. Like we hear stories just like, but these are all tattvas also. Like there are truths. Like, you know, Lord Shiva is representing something, ahankar. That's very deep to think about. And like you said, mentioning the last layer is this level, and he's representing and he's
but
also.
I like the way you said it's a compassion, mercy.
Yeah.
This is the bottom line.
Yeah.
Because when I came to this material world, I don't remember when, but the moment a desire at the Tatastha region to when I got attracted by the allure activity of illusory potency and I developed a desire. That's all I did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have my body, the Satchidananda, tiny Prangovinda soul, has no capacity to enjoy material nature. But I'm developing desire to enjoy. How it's possible? Shiva, out of his compassion, produce this false ego, and then 5 layers of ignorance covered me, then my life in material world started. So is that compassion? Yeah, it's the highest compassion. Even though it's illusion, but it is the compassion, because I soul doesn't have any capacity to enjoy material nature. So it is compassion. But the highest Prabhupada writes is the fourth canto. When we come, 4th canto, 28 chapter, 33 verse or 30, these 3 verses. When we become surrender soul, that pleases Shiva the most.
Yes.
And Shiva says, at that time, you are more dear to me than any of my other followers. Mm. So devotees are most dear to Shiva. Mm.
Okay. No, so.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Yeah, I just wanted to, you brought so many nice points, as you always do, and 2 that stood out for me. One was seeing Lord Buddha as an innovative preacher. I never thought about it that way, and that made me think of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, and actually today is the Titi date of his Vyasa Puja.
Jai.
So it's nice to hear from another Ganesham Prabhu.
My spiritual master blessed me with that name because whenever I meet a Bhakti Tirtha Swami disciple, they embrace me. Ganesham, you have the same name as our life and soul. And so I feel like so blessed to get that name just because of Bhakti Tirtha Swami.
You know? Yeah. And your point, when you were speaking to those Christians and your point about, Srila Prabhupada being equally surrendered, just that they had different missions. And I just thought that was so brilliant. You're really empowered to just give that response to them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Bhakti Tirtha Swami's disappearance, is it, or appearance?
Appearance.
Wow, special, very special. Another soul 100% surrendered to the Lord.
Yeah. You said, Lord Shiva is the presiding deity of the false ego. So I was thinking, so to get free from the false ego, something to do with Lord Shiva, but then Prangovind Prabhu said, that's the one thing the jiva has to dissolve. Is there a connection with Lord Shiva in that process of dissolving it, or?
Shiva, Prabhupada writes.
Wait.
4.28.30, Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad, beautiful Bhagavad Prabhupada. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I want to hear.
Prabhupada writes in 4th Canto, 28, chapter 30, verse, that when a soul surrendered to Shankarshan, because Shankarshan, that snake on Shiva's head, there's a 3 snake in Shiva's body. I was making a chart on one time. The on top that it is a Shankarshan. That's Krishna, not Shiva Tattva, Vishnu. So he always meditated on that. And he said, when the soul surrendered to Krishna or Vishnu, that time it pleases Shiva so much that the false ego immediately released. Until that, and then Shiva says, that devotee who surrendered to Krishna become more dear to me than my any other followers. Therefore, the Vishnu Bhakta, devotee of Krishna, are the best friend of Shiva. We don't need to worship Shiva separately.
Jai. Beautiful. Thank you.
So, the glorifying Srimati Radhika?
Yeah, take the mic so others can hear because...
So he is the author of Kadakarisha Siyamam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. So he's that, and then as Shankaracharya, he's the author of Jagannatha Swami Nayana. Yeah.
Amazing. Bhajagovinda, right? Also at the end of his life, he shared this with his disciples. So he's secretly great devotee of the Lord Krishna. Yeah.
No, just one thing because I'll be like, I need to call
Krishna. I love to hear.
You know what he says? It was a very interesting comment by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, Buddha, Lord Buddha came when he rejected Veda because on the principle of slaughtering as a rituals or main religion. So, Buddha Namani. Shastra namaniya hoila Buddha nastik. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Chaitanya Chaitamita, that verse, that because he rejected, so he became nastik. So who are you? Nothing. Dust, sunna. So I'm zero. But then Shankaracharya, if you look at his, he said, no, you are not sunna, you are Brahman. So he brought the Brahman word back to the Brahmanas. That's where we are benefiting now, as you are giving a hint in that. So, but then if you study, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you study the Mayavad Shankara comment, you'll say, okay, we were Sunnabad before, zero, void. So now we got Brahman. So what is inside the Brahman? It's also nothing. What's the difference then? Before we were zero, now it's also zero. He said, but it's covered form.
yes, Jai. Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.